We have a missionary, David Buckley, and his family with us this evening, and it's been a joy to fellowship with them for just a couple of hours this afternoon and get to know each other. We have a lot more in common than we both came from the southern part of the state, but we both have a love for the Lord, and it's just a joy to be able to meet him and his family. So I'm going to turn the service over to him at this time.
Yoshtate. That means good evening. And Dichosheg az Urat means praise the Lord. It's much easier to say praise the Lord in English because it's faster, but Dichosheg az Urat is much a little more difficult. My name is Dave Buckley. My wife Carmi is in the back there with our 14-month-old son. His name's Weston. He is ducking down at this time. And oh, he's sitting on this bench, sorry. And he's being a good boy at this moment. So we're thankful for that. We are missionaries to the country of Hungary, as Pastor has mentioned, and we have been in the field for the last 3 years. So we have returned from our first term, and we are now itinerating throughout the state and throughout the United States, and we are letting people be aware of how things went in Hungary. And I'm here tonight to show you and to tell you what we've done in Hungary and to ask you to please pray for Hungary. We have a table in the back. It's set up, and there is a prayer card on that table. We're asking you to take that prayer card and place it somewhere that you can remember, whether it's in your Bible, or maybe every time you get hungry, you can put it on your refrigerator and just remember Hungary. And we'd really appreciate it, because we need a touch from the Lord on our nation as we are preparing now, and we need a touch in our lives as we prepare ourselves to go back to Hungary for a four-year term. And so we're excited about what God has in store for us there. And by tonight, you will be excited what God has done in that country and what he is about to do. Let me show you a couple. This is my PowerPoint presentation. It's early edition, so sorry. I think this works, correct? Oh, yeah. Here we go. Can you all see that? This is the country. This is Europe. Europe is a continent that is dark. It is a continent that used to know the power of Jesus Christ for a long time. It is full of cathedrals, full of beautiful places of worship, but now it is literally dark. They say there are more Christians in Africa than there are in Europe. There is a growing sense. There's in France, this is the country of France right here, there are more New Age leaders than there are Catholic priests in the nation. In Germany, the rise of the occult is epidemic. The worship of Satan or witchcraft is on the rise. And so, and then the eastern part has been under the communist rule for 40 years. And they are struggling to coming out of that time period with their new freedoms. But unfortunately, everything has opened up, including the Church of Jesus Christ, but also the cults have come in. And so there is a move of God on a slow pace in that continent, and it's a very dark continent, and we ask you to pray for it. Hungary is located right here. It's a dark country. The countries surrounding it are Austria, Slovakia, Ukraine, Romania, and then this big one right here is not divided up, but it's Yugoslavia. And during the war that we had, they would fly planes out of Hungary over Yugoslavia, and because Hungary is a part of NATO at this time period. Hungary is half the size of Wisconsin with twice as many people. There are 10 million people that live in Hungary, and there are another 5 million people that live outside the country. Mainly they live in this countries north of Yugoslavia right here, and also in Romania, in the Transylvania area. Hungary used to be a larger country than at the end of World War I. It was sliced up a little bit, and there's hardly... there were one-third of the population found itself outside the country's boundaries. Here's a close-up picture of Hungary, and it gives you an idea. These are some of the names of the major cities, and you can see the countries around it. On the bottom, this is Yugoslavia, Croatia, Slovenia. That used to be Yugoslavia. Budapest is right there, and that is the capital city. And if you've been watching the news lately, there's been some flooding in Prague, which is the country right up here, and some in Germany, which is the country way up here. But in Hungary, there's been some flooding in the Budapest area, but not as severely as in those other areas. We live in the city called Paich, and that's located right here. That's about 2.5 hours south, and it's a nice little town. It's a city that's a university city, and we've been living there for 3 years, learning the language, studying the culture, learning everything we can about the Hungarians, because they are a different people from the rest of the world. They are different people from the rest of the Europeans. They're considered the newcomers to the place there. They've only been on the continent for about 1,000 years, and all their neighbors have relative languages. For instance, these three countries right here, and also Slovakia and Czech, all speak the same Slavic dialect, or different dialects, but they all speak the same Slavic-based language. Romania, France, and Spain, they speak a Latin-based language. And the German and English and Dutch all speak the Germanic language. But the Hungarians, they speak their own language. It's like no other language. In fact, we have been going to school in our little town. And this is what our classroom looks like. And we've been learning Hungarian on a week-to-week basis. And right now, I'm proud to say that, or happy to say, I should say, that we can have a conversation with any Hungarian. We can talk to them. It's a very difficult language. Someone told us, and of course, we always hear these statistics and we never see the actual statistics, so take it with a grain of salt. But someone told us that it is the third hardest language in the world. But I'm not sure if that's true. But in my opinion, it is, because it's a hard language to learn. They have a lot of endings. In fact, you can have a root word and you can add on, like if you wanted to say house, it would be haz. And if you want to say in the house, you would say hazban. If you want to say in my house, hazamban. You just add a different ending to the very ends and you just keep on adding on until you figure it out. So literally you could have to sit there and you have to think, I have to add this ending, and this ending, and the direct object ending, and then you got your word. And so it can be very difficult. My wife, on the other hand, speaks Hungarian much better than I do. That's because she's a woman. And women could do two things at one time. Amen? Probably. Okay. Here, I'm going to give you a few Hungarian lessons right now, and I just want you to say the words out loud when I say them. Let's say, for instance, good morning would be Jodagelt. Jodagelt. Yeah, see, how many people ever took a foreign language? Spanish, English? Okay, so you understand this. Thank you very much. That's a simple thing to do. You know, you want to be very polite to somebody. You would say to them, Köszönöm szépen. Yeah, those dots. Don't worry about those dots. Those dots, each one is Köszönöm szépen. And then the Hungarians, they have a tradition. They usually say their family name first, their second name, or their Christian name second, and then they would say, I am. So you would say, my name is David Buckley. You would basically say, Buckley David Vajok. So it's a little different. They just reverse the order. So we had to get used to that. That is a pretty dress. You could say that to somebody tonight. Ez az egy szép ruhat. Szép ruhat. Ruhat meaning dress. When you want to say wow or expression of excitement, you would say hoo-ha. Yeah, like for instance, you go downstairs and there's a big piece of brownie, you go, hoo-ha, okay, I got one, all right? And then you would say goodbye to somebody, you would say, visan latashra. Yeah, it's a mouthful, visan latashra. But that's the formal goodbye. I would say that to people who are older than me, I would say to store clerks or someone I'm just doing business with. But to my friends, I would say to them, hello and goodbye, I would say, see ya and hello. Now, there's a story behind it. It's not hello, it's hollow. My wife and I were driving over to our pastor's house. We had dinner with them, and he would come out to the door every single time. We were good friends, but he would always say goodbye from the door. And so he'd walk you to the door, he'd open it up, and he'd watch you get in your car, he'd watch you turn the car around, and as you're driving by, he would say to you, hello, 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 and we'd just both laugh to each other, and we said, isn't that cute? Pastor's trying to speak English to us, he's trying, and he got it confused, you know, not goodbye, hello. And then we found out that actually hello means goodbye. And so the joke was on us the whole time. They're probably, weren't we cute, we were all mixed up. Sia actually means hello. And hello, hello means goodbye. So you can go up to somebody and just reverse the order in your mind, and you would say to them, see ya. And then later on tonight when I leave, I'll say hello. So And then, of course, in any language, you always, if you ever study a language, you always get that one phrase that's really long that makes no sense whatsoever. The phrase I choose for today is, my father has a red car, which is basically, apam ed piros auto van. So there you go. You all make great Hungarians. You get an A+. And, you know, it's a good thing because they say that Hungarian will be the language of heaven because it takes an eternity to learn it. So you have one edge above the rest of the population. This is the, my wife and I have been doing university ministries over in Hungary, and our goal is to start a university Bible study on every single campus of the nation. That's a lot of work to do. And so we started it 2 years ago. We started it, and we met at a dormitory. This is the dormitory, and we are actually on this room right here. That's the fifth floor. And we meet every Monday night at the University of Page Economic and Law University. And we have been up there, and it's a great room. Actually, for many times we've met in this room, and then one day we came into the room, and they put a wall right down the middle of it, and so it was like a closet at that time. So we said, well, let's move upstairs. And so we move up there, and it's a great room, and we have we put up posters during the week, and we challenge students to come in. There's about 500 students that live in this dormitory, and we evangelize to them. We put up posters announcing that our meeting's there, and then on Monday night, we bring up chairs, and we bring a guitar, and we always bring food because students are always hungry, and then we sit and we play, and then we preach the gospel message to them. Well, let me show you one of the rooms that we were in. This is, like I said, Hungarian students are like any other students in the world, and they're always hungry. And so we figured out that they're also always poor. And so we did an evangelistic outreach one day, and we announced to all the students in the place that we are going to have free pizza at the end of our Bible study. If you come and listen to us for our Bible study, we'll feed you all the pizza you want to eat. Now, 500 students, you pray that God would bless you, but you know, it's like, okay, you know, this is a big leap of faith. And that night, the Lord blessed us with 20 students, visitors that night, and we were excited. Like I said, Europe is a very hard place. It's a spiritually dry place in many areas. And so for 20 students to come out to hear the Bible study, and they knew it was going to be a Bible study, it was really exciting. And so we had a chance to talk with them and to converse with them one-on-one and just to be with them. But that night, every one of those students heard the message of Jesus Christ. They were challenged with the idea that they had to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. See, many Europeans believe that they are Christians because their society says they're Christians. You know, I'm Hungarian, so I have to be a Christian. I'm not living in a Muslim world. I'm not living in a Buddhist country. I'm living in a Christian country, so I have to be a Christian. But there's no relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we challenge many of the students to know more about him. Two students that really affected was Peter, who was in the middle, and his friend Ishvan. And I think that's his name. Yes. And so we were challenging them, and they decided that the next week they were going to come down and visit with us. And so we were really excited about that. And then the next week they missed it, and the next week they missed it again. Then we did another outreach. We took cans of soda, Coca-Cola, 7-Up, whatever it was, and we put a wrapper around it, and it said, are you thirsty? Jesus will quench your thirst. And then we put a scripture verse on it and put our name of our group on it, and we passed them out. And then I saw these two gentlemen knocked on the door. They were sitting down to have dinner, and I said, here you go. Here's a free can of soda. And they both speak English really well, and they said, we're sorry. We've been very busy the last couple of weeks, but we really want to come and hear you speak again. And so we are excited about that, and God has blessed us with a great ministry with the university students. Sometimes university students will come just to hear the English. I always do my lesson in English. There's a couple times, or one time I had to do it in Hungarian because they didn't have a translator, and that was that was very interesting. It was around Christmas time, and no translator came, and so I was telling one of the gifts, you know, during that time, like, you know, Jesus received the gifts from the wise men. So what's the greatest gift that we can give Jesus is our lives. And so I'm like saying to them, okay, and I'm saying this in Hungarian, but I'm saying to them, okay, there were three gentlemen and they were kings and there's a special name for them. What is it? And they would say, and I go, yes, that's it. Okay. And they brought gold and what else? And they'd say frankincense. Yes, 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 that's it. You know, and so they were filling in the blanks. And so I was like, good, we can get this down. And you know, 20 minutes later, my lesson was done. So I'm like, thank you, Lord, you got through that. But you could please pray for them. These two, they have come and they express a feeling of getting to know more about us. Many students, like I said, come because just they want to hear the English. And so we preach in English. And so we are excited about that. The other reason why is many students are studying English because the internet is in English, and so they want to know more about the internet and things like that. These are, I wanted you to pray for these four. If you could just remember the four, that'd be great. They're the Hungarian students that are taking over for us while we leave here, or living here in the United States. The first girl's name is Junji. Junji. It literally means pearl. Junji is, sorry about that. Junji is the music leader here. And she plays the guitar, and so she'll be leading worship. Juju is, that means Suzanne. Juju is, she is the girl that's a student there at the Economic and Law. She's our liaison between the group and the school. Esther here is the takes care of the finances. And Janos here, this means John, Janos. He is the guy who's going to be bringing a lesson each week. So if you could please pray for the four here. I'd really appreciate it because then that will pray for that. God will give them guidance, direction, and wisdom as they lead this group into the next year. And that God would also challenge their hearts to take the group. And when we come back, that we can start another group in another spot and then hand that over to somebody else and then start a network throughout the country. Another area that we have taken care of that we have been invited to help out is working with a high school in the next village. They're the students from Pech Vadod, and they are students that live at the high school, and they're starting to be police officers, border patrol, and bakers. And those are the three areas that we really need help in, because usually our license plate says that we're foreigners, and so we're stopped by the police all the time. So I'm trying to get them saved, so if they stopped us, they can say, okay, they won't say, oh, that fine is going to cost you a lot of money today, you know, kind of things. In the Border Patrol, it's always hard sometimes to get over the border so they can stamp your passport. So if these people got saved, that might make my life easier, but I know that if they got saved, and of course, I always like the bread there too. But these are some of the girls, and they're meeting at our house for a Christmas party. And we have always opened up our house for anyone to come over to. And one of the things that we wanted to do is show them how Americans live. I think one of the things that is a positive thing for us is that we are Americans. If they wanted Hungarians to come in and minister to the people, they would find Hungarians. But as Americans, we come in with a different view, a different perspective, and that could be good or that could be bad. And so this is a good way because they all want to study English. This is an English speak-out group. And they meet in the youth center or community center in town. And they we pick on a subject, for instance, we might talk about fashion. We might talk about food or movies in America. And then we always bring it back to a scripture base at the end of the night. We always talk about a verse from the Bible that has to deal with that subject matter. And so they hear the message each time. One of the things that we were able to give at the Christmas party was this book, and it's the book of John. It's called the book of the New Testament. It's called Good News for Modern Man. And literally, it is half English. You see four columns. First column is in English. The second column is in Hungarian. And then it's English-Hungarian. And it's as simple as that. And we read the Christmas story with them on that night, and we gave each one their own Bible and said, here, take this and keep on reading the book of John until you, and so it was a very positive, and they had a wonderful time at our house, and it's a great way to minister to the students. My wife is going to come up at this time, and she's going to tell you about our house. Now, this is my apologies. I don't have a picture of our house, so I drew one on the computer, and I just drew the tree by hand, so forgive me on that, all right?
one of the first things getting over there, of course, is to find a place to get set up and a place to live. And as missionaries nowadays, our first time out there, as Dave said, was for 3 years. And it used to be missionaries would go for 4 years. They'd get their, pack all their belongings up, and it would get shipped over there by boat or wherever, and it would get to their house a couple weeks after they got there, and they would unpack their stuff and start their life. Well, it's a little different for us because we're out to have a new program, and we go for 3 years, and we don't get to bring our belongings with us. So all of our stuff, we had 10 suitcases, and that we were able to pack our things in, and so I took my pots and pans and dishes and some spices and things like that, and our clothes, and we managed to get a comforter from, I took a couple sets of sheets, not knowing at all what we were going to find for a house. And then on top of that, in Europe, it's customary when you move, you take everything with you. You take your carpet off the floor. They don't have a lot of carpet. They mainly have rugs, but the pergo flooring that's really popular in the States now actually is a European thing because it just unsnaps and you can take it with you wherever you're going. And you take your kitchen cabinets off the wall with you, and you would take that into the sink. And so if you were to check out a house and a place to live, you'd come in and you'd just see the pipes hanging out in the kitchen, and you'd have to furnish all the appliances and everything like that. Well, because we were just getting set up in this new house, we were a little worried because we were on limited funding, and we didn't know what we were going to find. And as Dave mentioned, our city is a university city. So like most university cities, most likely thing to rent is an apartment. And we really felt that God was saying, just wait, because I have a house for you, just wait. And so after many trips from Budapest down to Pécs, we would look, and I ended up in tears so many times after those days of total frustration, because we'd go and look at, you know, we'd get all excited, we'd head down the page and think we're going to go maybe see, like here in the States, a couple different houses, or, you know, maybe at least five, that they'd say, okay, we have one that you can go see. And, you know, you think we drove 2 hours down to see one house. But God did finally provide the perfect house for us, and we knew it was the perfect house because when we looked out the skylight on the second floor, it doesn't have a lot of windows, it just has the skylights. We noticed out the one window that our church that we were attending was right out the skylight. And we were like, that's it. This is where we're supposed to be because we're so close to our church. And it worked out great because later on, after about a year of being there, the youth pastor, I guess it was after about 6 months of being there, the youth pastor of the church, or the youth worker, he resigned. And they didn't have anyone to do the youth ministry. And so Dave took it over. And so we had a lot of youth parties at our house. We would invite them over. We had a great area of the basement. It wasn't heated. The man that owns the house called it his garage. And we were able to find a ping pong table for pretty inexpensive. And so we put a ping pong table down, and the kids loved to come over and play ping pong. What I forgot to tell you, though, was that this house did have cabinets in it. It had flooring in it. It had light fixtures in it. And it even had a dining room table, which was like a really expensive thing. So God really provided the perfect house because it had everything we needed. In fact, God even gave me a dishwasher. So I was really excited about that. So it was a great place, and we have wonderful people that we live next to, and I'm going to show you a picture of them. Their names are Ishvan and Teresa, and everybody lives next to an Ishvan. Everybody has a neighbor named Ishvan, because that is actually the name Stephen, and the founder of the first king of the country who brought Christianity, and his name was King Stephen, or King Ishvan, and so everybody has a neighbor named Ishvan. It's one of the most popular names. And these are our neighbors, Ishvan and Teresa. They live across the street from us. They are wonderful neighbors to have. And looking at them, you'd think, I don't know, they're both retired, but they're only in their 50s. He's on disability. They're in their early 50s. And they kind of had a hard, they haven't had a hard life like most Hungarians. And unlike most Hungarians, they're smiling. Most of the time, we don't see too many Hungarians that actually smile. The communism years have left them pretty worn and pretty haggard, and they've had a pretty hard life. And so for them to see the Hungarian smiling, that thought was a treat for us. And I think they are totally gravitate towards Dave and I, because we smile all the time. Even the Christians have said to us, why do you smile all the time? And I just want to say, it's easy. Everybody can smile. I mean, that's like the most simplest thing you can do. And I think, too, we had Weston, our son, smiling so much early, you know, earlier than Hungarian babies smile. Just because I think we smile at our kids more here in the States, and they respond back to us quicker. And so that was interesting for us to watch as Weston's grown up, and the other babies, to see that he has smiled a lot quicker, probably because we smile at him all the time. But one nice thing about having truly Hungarian neighbors is I was making salsa one day, I think we were having tacos or something, I needed garlic, and my wonderful Hungarian neighbors have every kind of vegetable and plant in their yard, and I went over and they pulled out a bulb of garlic for me right on the spot, and was very fresh. Can't get much fresher than washing the dirt off of it. So that's the nice thing about living in the country of Hungary. The other thing that God blessed us with was a wonderful church family. And this is our pastor and his family in the country of Hungary, Pastor Paul and Judith Kazmir. And they have become very good friends of ours, and we're very honored to be able to work with them. And Dave has the opportunity at our church to preach about once every 6 weeks. He is in the pulpit preaching in English, and eventually he'll go into Hungarian. So, and he has four daughters, and then the one is married, and the three others are single, and they just were like, please take us to America with you, because they've had the opportunity to be here once as a family, and they loved it so much, and they would love to come back, but they really need to reach their own people, and so we, you know, encourage them. If they want to come and visit, they're more than welcome to, but I don't think they're going to come for a long time. So the gal in this gal sitting up on the bench, her name is Sylvia, and she's studying English up in Budapest. And Abea, the strike, is studying German and English. She has a very difficult schedule. And Junji is the other pastor's daughter, and she is the one that helps us with the ministry there in college. I'll just talk briefly about this. This is our son Weston. He was born in Hungary. You see him back there. He was born in Hungary last June. We did everything in Hungary. I had a doctor who spoke English, but most of the nurses didn't speak English. But it was quite the experience, and ended up with a C-section. And it's very common in Hungary, whether C-section or not, that you stay 5 nights in the hospital. And unfortunately, your baby doesn't. The father isn't allowed to be with the baby at all during those 4 days, but because we are foreigners and we were paying customers not in the socialist system, they made a little exception for us, and so we were grateful for that. But it was a great experience, and I think the best part of the whole experience of having a baby in Hungary was the fact that we got to bill our insurance company like $400 was all for having a baby in Hungary, from start to finish with the C-section, 5 nights in the hospital, and that's pretty inexpensive from what I understand. And the other nice thing is, even though I nursed him with a Similac in Hungary for a big bottle, which I've checked out here, it's $21, $20 here. It's like $6 in Hungary, which makes me think we need to talk to Abbott Labs, because they're making a lot of money somewhere. But it was great to have him there. He's not a Hungarian citizen, which is a common question. He's an American, because as his parents, we are Americans. And so we went right away to the embassy in Budapest shortly after he was born and got his little passport. Fill out the paperwork, and his birth certificate, you know, is different from most children's birth certificate from a hospital. It's from the State Department. And we chose when he's 18, he can choose to be a Hungarian citizen. But God was so faithful in other things, because, you know, we never had even been to a doctor in Hungary at all yet. And then to get pregnant in Hungary and then have the delivery and everything, we found a great doctor who spoke English, and other missionaries had used him in the past. And so it was just a really wonderful experience. And so we're grateful for Weston and the doors that he's opening. And because one of the things that I would like to do when we get back is start like a mom and me club, which I know is really popular in America. And so I think that Weston's a great opportunity for us to reach our neighborhood where we live. And our church being so close, it'd be easy to have it at the church and help get those neighborhood people into our church a little bit more there in Hungary. And so in Pécs. And so I'm looking forward to getting back and doing that. Another area of ministry that I am directly working with, and it involves the Gypsy Children of Hungary, and that is working with, it's called Save Europe's Children. There's actually some flyers on the table. And Save Europe's Children has a focus of the Gypsy Children, and now the main focus for this year is working with writing Sunday school curriculum. And I have a teaching background, and so I will be helping to write Sunday school curriculum. There's a group from Germany, I think there's a couple Swiss. We have a guy from Finland working on it and a couple other missionaries, and we're all writing curriculum for different age groups, and they have a concise Sunday school program that runs from babies all the way up to junior high, and they're trying in those whole years to get every verse of the Bible, which is quite a challenge. There's a sheet that I'm working off of, a scope and sequence that I'm using that they created that I have to fill in now, and it's a great challenge. And so if you please would pray, this year is when I have to be responsible for getting my lessons written. And we're traveling a lot, so you can pray for us as we're trying to get that curriculum finished and put together. And just the impact that it's going to have on the whole of Europe, not just in Hungary, but it's a whole Europe project. And so So I'm looking forward to doing that, and I'm going to pass off to Dave and grab our son.
Another goal that we would like to do in Hungary is to help the Gypsy Church in the city to build a church. And this is the church building that they have purchased. They purchased a building for $3,000, and they want to renovate it. They want to knock out some walls in there and put new tile on the floor and paint the inside and the outside. And that will cost another $3,000. So for $6,000, you can have a whole new church in Hungary. Wouldn't that be nice if it was true here in the United States? Let's just gather $3,000, $6,000 and just build a church. But so this is Joseph. He's one of the leaders of the churches there. And so our goal is to help him and another church in the area to build. Our goals are very simple for you. And I have a question for you as a church. What do we need from you? Sometimes people come up to you and say, or to us and say, what can we do to help? What can we do as a church, as an individual, as a person? What can we do? Well, I need you to be, first of all, involved. Be involved with yourself in the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know this is kind of a small type here, but I'll read it. Be involved with your neighbors, a friend, or another part of the world. We need you to be involved with the spreading of the gospel news. We need you to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Now, whether it is God is calling you to go to a foreign country, or God's calling you to be a missionary to maybe a specific group of people in the United States, or maybe it's your neighbors, or maybe it's co-workers, but God is calling you to be a missionary. There's someone once said, you're either a missionary or a mission field. You can't be both at the same time. And so we are missionaries. We are all been called. Jesus Christ calls us to spread the gospel to the ends of this earth. And so if it calls for us to go to our neighbor to spread that gospel, we need to spread that gospel. We need to tell them that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. And so we need you to be involved with that. And we need you to invest, which is the next one. We need you to invest. Invest in the kingdom of God. Invest your lives by going. If you feel the call to go towards missions, I will give you an open invitation. If you feel like you are calling to for a foreign field, you're more than welcome to come over and spend some time with my wife and I. We always have a room open. God has blessed us with an extra bedroom in our house, and you're more than welcome to come over. Now, don't be spending like the next year or so. Then we get you another place to live. But you are more than welcome to come over and spend some time with us as we minister to the Hungarians and to the Hungarian gypsies and to other students. We need you to go. We need you to invest your time by praying. We need you to invest your money. Our budget alone for my wife and I has gone up from our first term to our second term by 60%. So we need God to invest for we need God to provide for our needs. And that leads us to the next one, which means to intercede. Now, if I had people involved, if I had people investing, but I have no one interceding, then no one's going to be involved, no one's going to invest, and no one's going to pray. Does that make sense? So the most important of all these three items here is this last one. We need people to pray for us. If no one prays for us, that means no one's going to be involved. If no one prays for us, that means no one's going to invest. And if no one prays for us, that means we're in trouble. There are many times that we're on the field, and honestly, I can tell you, we feel the prayer of the people in the United States. Sometimes we're on the field, and it gets lonely, or it's a hard time, or there's a situation that comes up, and we really need the prayer of people to help us through. So we need people, we need you to intercede for Hungary. Like I said, the Hungary nation is a dry nation, so we need to pray that the Lord will pour out His Holy Spirit like water upon the nation. We need to pray that the universities of Hungary will be open to the message of Jesus Christ. There was at the University of Pécs, there was one mainline denomination that wanted to set, that said, we want the sole rights to evangelize on this campus. Many students that grew up under the communist rule, Everyone that is basically 40 and above all speak Russian as a second language. Anyone that's under 40 or under 35, they all speak a second language or a third language that would be English or German or maybe French. When the communists fell, Russian was dropped instantly, and everyone was more than happy to forget that, and they said, forget that language. We're going to go with something else that's more world influence. But the Hungarians' youth that grew up at that time period have no idea, have no concept. But I would like to say that they're Bible illiterate. They have no idea what the Word of God has. They have no concept what it means to be a Christian. They have the only idea is that they want more money, more influence, more power, a great job. And so there was a mainline denomination that wanted to have the sole right to evangelize on the campus. And the campus came back to that church and they said, you know what? That's a great idea, but you cannot be the sole people to do it. You need to join with some other churches and do it. And so that church called up our Pentecostal fellowship and said, we want you to join with us and evangelize on the campus. And they signed the document. I have the document at home. And it's a document about this big. And it has like name after name of official at the university saying, we want these people to come on our campus and to tell people about Jesus Christ. And so we have an open invitation to go to the University of Page, and an open invitation that would lead into other universities in the country to tell them about Jesus Christ. Before we go back, we need your prayers. We need prayer for protection as we travel around the U.S. We need prayer for health. So far, I will say that we've been in this country for since June, and we've been to the emergency room twice and one ambulance call. So we need prayer. We need prayer for just the health reasons alone. And then we want you to pray that our report on Hungary would be well received. God is faithful. It says in the book of Psalms, that God is faithful in all he does. Psalms 33 says that. And we're asking God to be faithful in our service and God to be faithful in all that we do also. God has been faithful, and he puts things together that we don't realize or understand. It was about a year and a half ago. We were coming back to the United States for some meetings, and we came back, and I used to wear contacts at that time. And it's very often that as you fly, the pressure and the air and the staleness and stuff like that makes your eyes go bonko. They just get really dry and scratchy, and you just want to take out your contacts, let your eyes rest. And so I did that. I went into the little bathroom, which is only, you know, smaller than a phone booth at that, you know, and you take out your contacts and you put them down, and then you go rest, and then when it's the right time, you put them back in. I didn't realize what happened was that somehow, some way, I picked up a virus, and it was an African strain virus, and it was an ulcer that started to dig into my eye, and it was right on the pupil, so it caused my sight to go out on that eye. And it started to dig in, and we were in the Pittsburgh area, where my family's from, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And we were there, and I went to the emergency room because it was really, really hurting. And it was light sensitive, and they did some tests on it. They said, you know what it is? It's just a simple scratch on your eye. Just leave your contacts in. Just don't worry about it, and just go on. You know, you'll be fine in a couple days. So we were driving back towards Wisconsin, and my wife can testify, it was out in the middle of Ohio. I was just going, it was hurting so bad. I said, we got to find an emergency room here. But we prayed and we put some drops in the eye and the pain subsided. And we just went to Wisconsin because we had an eye appointment for the next day. And so we came to the doctor and he looked at my eye. And by that time, it started to swell. And I could not see out of the eye. And he pried it open and looked inside. He says, you have an ulcer on your eye. And it is so deep on your eye that if you go any longer, you will have permanent blindness in your eye. And so we went to this next doctor, and he looked at it and says, I can't do anything about this. You have to go downtown Milwaukee to the eye clinic down there, and they'll take care of you. And And he gave me some drops, and I had to put drops in my eyes every 15 minutes. And in the midst of this, you get the news that you're going to lose your eye. You are in such extreme pain, and you're wondering at that moment in that time, why, God? Why am I like this? Why is this happening to me? We are faithful on the field. We are faithful in all that we do. Why, Lord? Why aren't you here to help us at this time? And we pray that God would heal, and nothing was happening at that time. Well, it ended up that the doctor took care of it, and the Lord touched the eye, and the pain and the eye started to heal. And basically, the doctor says you have to wear glasses the rest of your life. But you know, it's a little fuzzy on the left-hand side, but if you can live with that, that's fine. And I can, and that's no problem. But he says, I want you to come back in 3 months to have a checkup. It just happened to be at that time we had a conference in the United States. And so we were back at the same time. So we came to the doctor, and he looked at the eye and says, the eye's healed fine. We went to our conference, and then we went and spent Christmas with my family in Pennsylvania. And at that time, my father was suffering from cancer. He had prostate cancer for many years. And we thought the doctor's report says that he was doing okay. He should, you know, things are going well. You know, it's normal. And he's been suffering for many years. And so it was just day in and day out with him. And so we spent Christmas with him. And then my father and my mother begged us to come back in January before we went back to Hungary to see my dad one more time. And my dad wanted us to come and say goodbye to him on a permanent base. And I'm going to try to get through this without crying at this, because he was in the hospital at that time, and we went to see him. And we told him that we probably would see him at the summertime. And he says, yeah, probably. But he wanted to say his final goodbyes, and I respected that. And I said, okay, Dad, what do you want? We talked about his funeral. That's hard to do. That's hard to do with any parent. We talked about our boy, Weston. He said that I really wanted to see your boy, but I don't think I'm going to make it. And we said, yeah, you will. We'll see you. And I said, Dad, I love you. And we said our goodbyes. And we went back to Hungary in January. And then February 18th, he died. We got the call that he was in heavy breathing and that he was not going to be able to make it. And so we flew home. And on the way home, he passed away. And I come to realize that I'd be willing to give up my eyesight in my left eye to have another Christmas with my father. And the questions that I asked at that moment, at that time, are all answered at one time. That the Lord was going to take him home, and that he wanted a time for us to get together. And I just say, God, you are so faithful, so good to us. And it's hard to understand, but he is such a faithful God. At the right time, at the right moment, that he could help and provide the moment that when you think you're the lowest in your life, there's a reason behind it, and that he is guiding you and directing you. He is our Father, and we are his children. It says in Romans, while we were still powerless, while we were still ungodly, it said that Christ died for our sins, that Christ died for us as sinners. And that is just amazing type of love, that while we were powerless, we have no way of having to create our own salvation, that while we were still ungodly, people that are against God, while we were still sinners, still in unrighteousness, Christ died for us. And that takes a lot of love. And I believe that God is out of time. I believe, in other words, that he is above time. He can see the past, the present, and the future. And he sees all these things. And just like a little boy, like my son, 14-month-old, wants to run and touch the hot stove. I tell him, no, you can't. And he gets so angry, and he stomps his feet, and he runs to the next room screaming. And my wife comes in, what's the matter? Well, he wants to touch the stove. But now he's angry, and he's upset. And sometimes we as Christians are the same thing. God, it should be this way and only this way. And if it's not going to happen that way, we're going to get mad and run away and stomp our feet. And God just says, don't worry about it. I'm your father. I'll take care of it. And time after time, that's the lesson we learned for the last 3 years. I am your father, and I will take care of it. I don't know what kind of situation you're in tonight. I don't know if you need the faith of God like ever before. I don't know if you need to see God's faithfulness once again. Maybe there's a family situation. Maybe there's a money situation. Or maybe there's a relationship that needs to be mended. But I'm telling you, God is faithful. God is with us until the very end of time. And whatever you're facing, God is willing to hear you and to listen to you and to act on your behalf. He might not do it the way you think He might do it. That's because He'll do it a better way. Great is His faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you, Lord God, that you are a faithful God and that you are a God that is still active and still concerned for us. I pray, Lord God, that if there are people here tonight, that you would touch them, that they, if they need your hand of protection or guidance or direction, that, Lord, that you would give it to them. Lord, I pray that you would just touch this moment with everyone head, all the eyes closed, everyone head bowed. If you're here tonight, you can simply say, you know what? I need God's faithfulness. I need a touch from God. Just raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to stand or to move out. I just want to pray with you right where you are. Is there anyone here tonight that needs an answer from God or a touch from God? You need to see His faithfulness once again in your life. Yes, anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you see these hands. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Lord, you see these hands, and I pray right now, Lord, that you would be the provider that they need in their life. Lord, I pray that you'd give them the answer that they need. Lord, I do not know their situation, but you know them, Lord God. You know the number of hairs upon their head. And so, Lord, you know their need and what they desire. And so, Lord God, I pray that your will be done in their lives. And I pray, Lord God, that you would provide for them, not what they want, Lord God, but what they need in their lives. And Lord, I pray for patience. Sometimes we need to wait upon you for the answer. And so, Lord God, I pray that you would help them to understand that. Lord, you are a faithful God. You will not leave us nor forsake us. We are your children. You are our Father. And so, Lord, we come to you as children. We ask, Lord, that you would hold our hands as we go through this dark time. Lord, I pray that you would just pour out your Spirit upon this church. I pray, Lord God, that it literally would be a beacon, a lighthouse in this city, Lord God, in this area, in this village, Lord, in this county. Lord, I pray that people will be drawn to this church. Lord, I pray that you bless it, Lord God. And I'm so thankful for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I appreciate you sharing your vision for Hungary and opening your heart to us this evening. And God is faithful. God is faithful. Rejoice to see that He's faithful all the way around the world. Father, we do thank you for this evening and, Lord, to be reminded about your great faithfulness. We thank you for the food that has been provided for us, and we ask your blessing upon it and our fellowship to follow. And we pray for safe traveling mercies for the Buckleys as they head back to Waupaca tonight. Lord, keep them safe, and in the hollow of your hand, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.